Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, are you excited this morning?
Yes.
Are you fired up?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, good. You should be, because God is a God who is a life giver. Isn't that right? And if God is in it, then there's life in it. And if God is in the midst of your life and my life, it ought to be more and more joyful and fruitful every day. There are always challenges and difficulties that we face, but even through those, they're designed to refine us. They're designed to make us more and more of the people that God has called us to be. So be excited, because God is doing something great in your life. Know that through all that you go through, it's for the purpose of refinement and God making you more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, I know that God is molding us and shaping us and doing all kinds of great things in our lives. And as we go through the summer months, you know, the summer is always challenging because so many people go away on vacation, and we do all the great things that we need to do in order to refresh ourselves and revive ourselves, and that's what we need to do. Isn't that right? You know, I hope you had a chance to get away sometime during the summer and relax and enjoy something that you like to do. This is the season to do it, right? If you want to be outside, especially. I love being outside. I'm an outdoors person, and it's just great to be able to enjoy the good weather. It's a little hot, but you know, we'll deal with that, right? Pretty soon it'll be nice and cool, and that'll be nice. We'll be back to making fires and sitting around roasting marshmallows and stuff. Well, we can do that now too, but it's a little hot. Well, anyway, we have been talking about the kingdom strategies of God this month, and we started out with the understanding that God's ways are further or greater than our ways. His ways are not like our ways, and our ways are not like his ways. They're as far as the east is from the west. And so that led us into looking at the story of Jonah. And as we went through our arts camp this week, it was the theme of Jonah. And we were talking about Jonah being a man who rebelled against God and who went his own way. And as a result, he ended up in the belly of a great fish, the Bible says, right? And so in the end, he ended up repenting and doing the will of God, and God's favor was then brought back upon his life. And so God restored him, but in the process, Jonah learned about himself. And so God, knowing the type of person Jonah was, he orchestrated all of these things to happen in order to get Jonah to do what it was that God wanted him to do. And so that is the same thing that happens even in our lives today. We do things, and there are things that we don't want to do, but God says, no, I need you to do them, and if you don't do them, then you suffer the consequences. And then as you're suffering the consequences, you start to think, okay, God, well, maybe I should do what you told me to do, right? So then you say, all right, God, I'm going to repent and do what you tell me to do. And then when you do, then God makes a way, and everything changes. Things become different. We contrasted that to the life of Job, and we saw how Job was suffering, and it wasn't even his fault. It was because God was bragging on him. God was telling Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And we talked about how sometimes people suffer through things, and it's not their fault. Things are happening. It's just the evil that's going on around us. Satan is at work in the world, and sometimes we are victims of these things. But even through all of that, God is with us. And even as Job suffered greatly, even beyond what would be considered normal or usual, it was largely because God was behind it. And even as we suffer and endure things that are not necessarily our fault, it's not something that we did wrong, but it's God using these things to refine us. And so today we will carry on this theme, this idea of God working in the midst of us and God using our life situations to refine us and to make us more of the people that he's called us to be. And as we are looking at our lives, as we reflect and look in the mirror and examining ourselves, God gives us a revelation, a divine revelation about our own selves, and areas that we need to change in our life, things that we need to do that we may not be doing, or things that we are doing that we should continue to do and even become better at doing them. And so we are going to begin here in Proverbs 19:21, and it says, "Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. And so we will start today with the understanding that God's will shall be done. And even as we go through life, even as we endure challenges and difficulties, we need the counsel of God. We need to seek the face of God. We need to be dependent upon the Lord and not relying upon ourselves, not just going through life as if we've got it. We can do it. We've got it figured out. We've got it worked out. And so, you know, we know what to do, and we just go doing what we think we should do. God did not design us to function that way. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. And so we pray our way through the day. We talk to God and we say, "Lord, lead me through this day." When you wake up in the morning, you don't just jump out of bed and go, I gotta go. You should jump up out of bed and say, "Lord, thank you for another day," right? You say, "God, thank you for the opportunity to honor you and to serve you today. Lead me and guide me. Give me favor. Give me the ability to represent you rightly before the people that you have already prepared me to meet." And Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified in the end of the day and be honored in all that I said and did, that your name would be lifted up and exalted, that you would be praised, that people would come to know you and be drawn to know more of you. And that would be our prayer in the morning. And as we go through the day, that is the prayer we pray. That is the desire of our heart. Why? And it's because the counsel of the Lord will stand. And we don't want to lean to our own understanding, right? It says, trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. So my understanding is pretty clear in my own head. But that doesn't always mean that is the way God would understand it or see it or perceive it. So I submit my will and my ways to God, and I say, "Lord, help me to see. Help me to understand. Lead me and guide me in your ways." And so the theme for today, or title for today's message, is "What's Your Plan?" What's your plan? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your word, and we just ask, God, that you would be lifted up and exalted in our lives. Our desire is to be used of you, to become more and more like Jesus. Our desire is to learn your voice, to hear your voice, that we may follow you, that you would be able to use us, to help us to be all that you have called us to be, enabling us to be your disciples, to be your witnesses in this lost and dying world. Take every area of our heart, every area of our lives, and make them models for others to follow, that we may be able to say, even as Paul did, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so our desire today is to follow your plan and to be a part of your great kingdom strategy to reach a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. What is your plan? What is your plan for life? What is your plan for daily living? How is it that you orchestrate your life? How do you put your life together? And how do you go through the decision-making processes that you go through throughout the day? That is really the question here. And God gives us direction on these things. He instructs us and he helps us to be able to be the people of change that we need to be. Our role and our responsibility as Christians, as the people of God, is to help people come to a place of transformation where we have encounters with God so that we can examine ourselves in comparison to the Word of God, that we may align ourselves with God so that we might become more effective at representing Christ, so that people will come to know Him and even ask the question, what must I do to be saved? I want my life to be lived out in such a way that people would see Christ in me, that people would see the love of God and be able to see the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit of God and be hungry for those very things for themselves. So many times people want change, but they don't know how to obtain it. But the Word of God gives us very clear directions, and together we can work together in order to bring this fruitfulness out of our lives. And so God wants us to be a person who makes things new. You and I have the ability to help others to become new. And in the process of helping others to become new, you and I become new. We are changed. When you help others to draw closer to God, you draw closer to God. And so our role and our responsibility is to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God and ambassadors of Christ. Sometimes God gives us dreams and visions, and you got to hold them to yourself. You got to keep them in your heart. And you got to just wait and pray. But God knew that Joseph wasn't going to be able to keep his mouth shut, so God used the situation. He says, all right, I'll make this a two-edged sword here. And so what does he do? So Joseph's brothers throw him in a pit, right, and they sell him off to this traveling band and these Ishmaelites, and they take him down to Egypt, and when they get down there, they bring him to Potiphar, and they sell him there. And so after he gets down there, he goes through a series of misfortunate events. And many of you know what that's like. You have bad things happening to good people. And your desire really is to do right before the Lord. Joseph was a man who desired to do what's right before the Lord. He was trained in the house of the people of God. He knew the ways of the Lord. He knew the plans of God. He knew the things of God. He was taught. It was deep within him. He understood. So his faith was genuinely rooted in trusting God. But I tell you, there's no greater opportunity to have faith in God than when you're thrown into a pit by your own family members. Oh, what do you do then? The same people who were feeding you and taking care of you and watching over you, and they were there to support you and help you, and now they've thrown you in a pit and sold you off. It's hard to have faith in God when you're in a situation like that. It's hard to have faith in God when your home life has become funky. And all of a sudden you got issues and you got problems, you know, and he's got brothers who were bad boys. And so they threw him in a pit and sold him off and didn't even tell the parents, tell his father. And he goes back and he's lost. He's without a home. He's without family. He's totally on his own. And so he felt like he was just out there. But the word of God tells us the Lord was with Joseph. And sometimes you feel like you're all alone. Sometimes you feel like you've been thrown in a pit. Maybe you've been sold off. And maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe the reality is you are going through hard times. Maybe you are going through really severe problems. It's not normal for brothers to throw family members, other brothers or sisters into a pit, or even to sell them off. That's not normal. That's beyond normal. And maybe some of the things that we go through are not normal. This is unusual. But know that it's not a surprise to God, because he knows who you are. He knows what you need. He knows your life. He knows your situation. Your family may abandon you. Your friends may abandon you. People may abandon you. But God will not forsake you. It says the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And that's what God will do. You persevere in him, seek him, and you too will become successful at what you do. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Three things we see in this passage that are very important. Number one was that he was faithful to God and that the Lord was with him. When the Lord is with you, you will become successful. This is an important understanding, because so often we pursue success without God. We think that we can do it our way, and we don't necessarily need to worry about God. He's just there somewhere in the background. We don't need to be conscious of him, and we don't need to be thinking about him. He's just somewhere in the process, and we just have to do what we have to do, and somehow God will bless it. Well, God doesn't bless what we do just because we do it. God's way is already blessed, and we align ourselves with God, and we become blessed because we're a part of God's way, God's plan. And when we are faithful to God, the blessing of the Lord goes along with that. And so it says he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He served under someone else. And sometimes it's good to serve under someone else. In fact, to be a good leader, you must serve under someone else. If you cannot be a good follower, you will never, ever be a good leader. If you're not able to take direction and follow direction and do things the way you've been instructed to do them and follow a plan, you will never succeed at being a leader. But Joseph, he was a good man. And he was faithful at doing that. He did exactly what he was taught to do. He did exactly what he was told to do, what his master taught him to do. And his faithfulness stood out. And that's an impressive thing. It's always impressive when people actually follow directions and do things the way they've been taught to do them or asked to do them. It's not an easy thing to find people who are committed and faithful to do things in the way that they have been asked to do them. So this stood out, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. That is the second thing, is that the master saw that God was with him. And that's how we ought to live our lives. We ought to live our lives in a way that we're faithful. We're faithful to what our bosses have asked us to do. We live in a way where we do things according to the way we've been asked to do them. And it begins when we're children. Even as a child, your parents ask you to do things, and we do what our parents ask them, but we don't do them sometimes. And sometimes we don't do them when we're asked to do them. You know, there's nothing more crazy than frustrating than somebody says they'll do something, and then they don't do it. And then when you follow up and say, hey, how come you didn't? They say, oh, I was going to get to that next. Oh, I was going to do it. No, I asked you to do it because I need you to do it now. Right? We need to do it now. And so Joseph was a person who did things in God's timeliness, and he did things according to the way his master asked him to do it. And God was evident. And so the second part is God wants to be evident in the way you carry out your responsibilities. Are you doing them the way you've been asked to do them? Are you doing things the way God says to do them? And when you do, God is honored. And people will recognize that God is with you. People will see that you are blessed of the Lord. And then finally, it says that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. And that's how prosperity takes place in the life of the believer. God causes what we do to prosper when we are faithful to him, when we do things the way God has called us and taught us and told us in his word to do them. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. So Joseph became a man in charge. Here he is, a slave. He's a servant. And now he's in charge of the house. Hallelujah. Even when you're down low, God can raise you up. Hallelujah. Even when you're in a terrible place, you may be abandoned from your family. You have been thrown in a pit. You have gone through hardships and difficulties and maybe even beaten and tortured along the way. But you endured all of that, and God raises you up. A light of hope shines. Now you're doing just a little bit better. But that wasn't enough. More was about to come. It says it came about that from that time he made him overseer in his house over all that he owned. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Oh, hallelujah. Joseph was the cause of blessing throughout all of the house of the Egyptian. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, you can be a blessing over somebody's house. You can be a blessing over whatever company you work for. I know that this is true because I often think of this story because it still amazes me. But I was working for this company down in the city. And when I first got there, I got the job. It was a miracle. But they told me they would pay me $10 an hour. You know, so, you know, who takes a job for $10 an hour when your mortgage is $3,700 a month? You know, but God told me to take the job. And so I took the job, and so it was crazy because it made no sense that I would take this job. But I took the job anyway, and so I'm doing this job, and I'm going along. I love the job. It's a great job, and I'm really enjoying myself. And all of a sudden, opportunity started coming. And so they said, hey, Shell, you know, we got this job. Do you want to do this? And I would say, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And so I would go with them, and we would go out and do this particular production or event, whatever it was. And, you know, it may take 20 hours to do, so I'd be there. And I'm racking up all this overtime. And so by the end of the month, man, I had so much work. I had so many things to do. You know, I was able to pay my mortgage. And I had a little extra to spare. Hallelujah. $10. That was all. $10. Then I didn't get a raise either. It was still $10. But God was making provision for me. And I began to see that the business kept increasing and things kept getting better and better. And opportunities kept coming my way. And I said, wow, God, this is awesome. Because I was praying. You know, when you take a job for $10, you know, you don't trust in your resource. You know, you're literally in a position where, all right, I have a job, but do I really have a job? what I got is work. That's what I've got. And so I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I need you. I need you to make a way for me. I don't know how this is going to work out, but Lord, we need to be able to pay our bills. And so we were praying and crying out to God. And the Lord spoke to me, and I remember that God showed me that I'm increasing the business there for you, to cover you, and that God would be my source of provision. And I first, you know, you think when that comes to your mind, you're thinking, all right, that's crazy thoughts, you know, what's the matter with me? You know, like, okay, all right, pride, no more, let's get that out of here. Well, God isn't doing that, it's just, you know, come on, you know, let's get real here. All right, stay focused, Shelly, you know, get yourself together. But ultimately, I transferred from there to another location, and about 6 or 8 months later, I heard there were layoffs, and I'm saying, well, why are they laying off people up there? And they said, oh, yeah, business went down. And I said, what do you mean business went down? We had so many things going, so many events, so much activity. They said, yeah, but not long after you left, things kind of slowed down. I said, what? And, you know, and I didn't really think of it then. I was thinking, wow, that's, I was thinking, praise God, I transferred just in time. I was like, man, praise God. You know, man, did I get out of there in time? Oh, I was glorifying God for that. And then I transferred again. The place I was at, that was really booming and doing well. I transferred again, and I ended up down at Chelsea Piers, down at the piers, and I was running the whole pier area thing down there, or whatever you want to call it, facility. And God was prospering us, and it was just amazing how everything was going so well. And all of a sudden, I heard that the other place, they said, oh, yeah, the other place, not long after you left, they had some changes in the management. They did all things differently, and so now, you know, so that whole thing was transferred over. It's not even there anymore. And I was like, what? And so I eventually got into full-time ministry, and then a few years later, you know, I was reading this passage, and it came to me, and I realized God really was prospering the places that I was for the purpose of sustaining me. God was making a way for me. God was making provision for me. And it was an amazing, amazing thing, and so many opportunities, as I think back, came to me. How many people that I had the privilege of sharing Christ with, and a few of them had actually received the Lord and given their hearts to God, and just so many things. I realized that God was in the midst of my life. And I said, wow, this is awesome. You know, that's a humbling place to come to, when you realize that God is orchestrating your life. When the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, it's not something that we just proclaim. It's something we look and we reflect on, and we are humbled by the fact that God is actually with us as we go through life. He's preparing a way, like he prepared the fish for Jonah so he didn't kill himself, so he didn't drown. God is preparing things for us, so we think we're stepping off the boat into the water, but really, God is really causing our foot to move in the way that he wants us to go. So we land in a certain place, and we go through these things. It's a process of refinement, and God is teaching us, and he's molding us, and he's making us the people he's called us to be. This is what Joseph was experiencing. The blessing of the Lord was upon him, and everything around him, everyone around him was being blessed. God was with him, and so he was in charge. He was placed in charge of all these things. And so his master didn't concern himself with anything except what he was going to eat. And Joseph was taking care of everything. And it says that Joseph was a handsome man. And of course, He was a handsome man, and we all know what happened. The reason that's a transitional sentence there is because what's coming next was temptation, right? That trouble was coming to Joseph. And so his good looks got him in trouble because we all know the story with Potiphar's wife, and she came in and tried to throw herself on him. And so that opened a door for a whole bunch of other trouble. But Joseph was faithful even in those temptations, even in those times of difficulties and hardships. And so God was with him. In the story of Hezekiah, Hezekiah is the same kind of person in 2 Kings 18. He was somebody who cleaned up the house of God. The Israelites were serving false gods and doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And he came in and he turned things around and began to bring the glory of God back to the house of Israel. He began to do what was faithful and what is right in the sight of God. He was a light giver. He brought hope. He brought righteousness and truth back to Israel. The scripture says that he clung to the Lord. He held on to him. That was like it was all he had. I don't know about you, but I want to cling to God. God is all I have. He's all that I am, all that I know. And God is the one who sustains us through life. Life is so short. Why go through life miserable, looking as if there is no future and no hope, that there's nothing beyond what your suffering is bringing you through? Know that God is going to sustain you. Know that tomorrow is going to get better. The future is bright when your hands are in the hands of God, when your hope is in God, when your ways are established in God, when you walk with him, when you commune with him, when you allow him to mold you and shape you. God breathes life into you, and he enables you to be a beacon of light even in the darkness. Even Joseph had a godly witness in prison, in trouble, when he was placed in there after his troubles. And so Hezekiah turns things around. He brings God back into the house of Israel, into the people of God. He transforms them back to the people of God that God originally designed them to be and made them to be. And he kept his commandments, all the commandments of the Lord. And it says the Lord was with him. And I would submit to you, once you make a stand for God, and no matter what the situation is, you do what is right. You do the thing that the Word of God calls you to do. You operate in truth and righteousness. When you do, God will back you. God will be with you. He will sustain you. He will cover you. He will enable you. It says that the Lord was with him, and wherever he went, he prospered. That's what faithfulness to God will do. People will tempt you. People will try to lure you in. They will try to drag you into their chaos or their mess or their problems or their issues. They're going to pull you in. They want to pull you in, and they want to tell you this and tell you that, and they want you to feel what they feel, and they don't want to be suffering alone. Misery loves company, they said. And so people are always trying to dump. And that's because it's heavy, it's hard. It's not easy to be in the pit. It's not easy to be in prison, in darkness. It's not easy to be in a place of pain and suffering. But if God is your hope, then you can be sustained through it all, because God will enable you. And so you can be light in the dark place, because you know that one day God is going to bring you through this. One day, God is going to open the door and make a way for you. One day, this is going to change, and I'm going to look back on this, and God will have used it to honor himself, to glorify himself. That is the truth with each and every one of us who have given our hearts to Christ, and our lives are in his hands, and we are the people of God. And as the people of God, it says that no one can pluck us out. God is our covering. He will sustain us, and he is not going to lose us. All that he has lost none, Jesus said. And so it says that as he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. God enabled him to conquer his enemies. Why? Because he was faithful to God, because he honored the Lord. In Judges 17, there's the story of Micah. And it tells us that he was a man from the hill country of Ephraim, and that his mother was a worshiper of idols and false gods. His family was. In fact, those people were in those days, because they had rebelled against God, essentially. It says, the 1,100 pieces of silver which were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse in my hearing, behold, the silver is with me. And so what's happened is the mother lost 1,100 pieces of silver. Could you imagine if you had $1,100 in your house and you lost it? You'd probably be like this lady, uttering a curse in somebody's hearing, right? And hopefully you wouldn't, but people do, isn't that right? And they lost $1,100, they would go crazy trying to find that money. And they would be cussing and swearing the whole time because they would be consumed with their loss. That God can sustain you through. And so God had a plan for them. And so he says, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be my son by the Lord. Wait a minute. You're serving false idols, but she wants her son to be blessed by the Lord. And here she is cussing and swearing, but then when she realized she found it, now she's blessing the Lord. You know people who do that, right? People do that. People do that. One minute they're cussing and swearing, the next thing you know, they're blessing the Lord. It's kind of funny, but it's true. It does happen. And so it says, he then returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. And his mother says, I wholly dedicate the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a graven image and a molten. What? Is that confusion or what? And so it says that, now therefore I will return them to you. And so when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to the silversmith, who made them into a graven image. I thought that was one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? They just broke that. And a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And that's the confusion that was happening. You have people who are wanting to serve the Lord and honor God, but their house is filled with false idols and things that are contrary to God. Doesn't that sound like Christians today? On one hand, we want the world to be our friend. We want favor with the world. We want the world to accept us and to like us and to appreciate us. And we want everything to be a certain way. But at the same time, we don't want to do what is right before God. And we have idols and false gods operating in our lives, in our households. And so we're misrepresenting God. And we come and worship the Lord and we love God and we bless God. And then when we go back home, we cuss and swear. God says, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. And so it shouldn't have been in this case either. So God raised up someone to speak into their lives, to help them. And this is what God does. When there are areas in your life, if your heart is genuinely for the Lord, God will raise up people to speak into your life. God will send people your way who can help you to change, to help you to become the person of God that God has called you to be. Every Christian has to be willing to change. You have to be willing to do things differently. If you don't, then you will never become the person God has called you to be. But we have to submit ourselves and humble ourselves, and God will make a way for us. And so it says, the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household idols and consecrated one of his sons that he might become his priest. And in those days, there was no king in Israel, for every man did what was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he was staying there. And then the man departed from the city, from Bethlehem in Judah, and to stay wherever he might find a place. And as he made his journey, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And so Micah says to him, hey, where do you come from? And he says to him, hey, I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm going to stay wherever I may find a place. And so here is this young man who's on his way to somewhere, and he randomly ends up at Micah's house. Really? Randomly? Yeah, no. It was the plan of God. God directed him. He says, I'm just going looking for a place to stay. I'm just traveling through. And God had a divine encounter. And the encounter was there because God cared about Micah and his family. God cared that Micah and his family had this kind of dual personality thing going on in their household. And God cared that they would rightly represent the kingdom of God. So they send them an ambassador. And Micah says to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit of clothes, and your maintenance. And so the Levite went in and said, I will sustain you. I will take care of you. I will be your source of provision. And that's what God does. He will bless you when you bless the people of God, when you are willing to give of yourself. It says the Levite agreed to live with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. And so Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Oh, I'm sure that was revelatory right there, right? That was probably amazing for this young Levite who comes in. And as the Levite comes in, that means changes are about to happen. God cannot come into your life and you stay the same. Once God comes into your life, you will change. If you genuinely accepted Christ, if you genuinely accepted the Lord, then you will change. It says, Micah says, now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest. Saints of God, you need Christ in your life. You see, this Levite is a type of Christ. He's a picture of Jesus who comes into our life. And when we come into our life, he brings about change and transformation. He causes old things to pass away and all things to be made new. And we experience newness of life, and the glory of God becomes evident in our life. We see this in the life of David. And when he went out with Saul, it says he prospered. And everything David did, he prospered. Saul sent him out as a man of war over his armies, and it was pleasing in the sight of the people and in the sight of Saul's servants. And as a result, he prospered in all those ways. He conquered his enemies. He defeated those who he went up against. And it says David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. If you want to prosper today, you need the Lord to be with you. You need God on your side. You need the Spirit of God working and moving in the midst of your life. You need God to make provision for you. You need him to give you favor on your job. You need him to open up doors of opportunity so you can share the love of God, share the testimony of your life and your story with people that you encounter and that you would engage along life's journey. And God will be giving you favor. He will raise you up. He will prosper you in all that you do. It says, when Saul saw that he was prospering, he dreaded him. This is the same thing that happened to Joseph. The Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and so he was blessed, and he wanted that blessing upon himself. But here Saul, he sees that the Lord is with him, but does he want what's good for him? No, he's dreading it. Oh. And there's always going to be people in your life who, when they see the blessing of God on you, they're going to dread it. There's always going to be those people around. They're going to be jealous of the fact that you're blessed of God. So many times we have problems with people, and we think that there's no reason for it. It's just like out of context. It's just so bizarre and it's strange. No, it really isn't. There's jealousy. They're jealous of the blessing of God on your life, on what God has enabled you to accomplish, what he's brought you through, how you've been victorious through challenges and difficulties, how you've seen how the hand of God has made a way for you, and that no weapon that has been able to be formed against you could prosper. And so there are people who will dread that. It says he sent a man before them, and Joseph, who was sold as a slave, they afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. And sometimes God will give you a vision like he gave Joseph. Sometimes God will show you what he has planned for your life. He will show you what your abilities are, what your capabilities are, even what he's called you to do and who he's called you to be. And you might be a great leader or some great person who's doing some great thing and accomplishing greatness, but you may be tested in the process. It doesn't mean that you go boasting and telling everybody. It means that you need to wait and endure the process. And if you can endure the process, then victory is waiting in the end. So many times people want to be leaders. So often people want to be in charge, but they don't want to go through the process. It's the process that refines us. It's the process that prepares us. It's the process that enables us to have a testimony that God is with us, that we would be able to see and know the faithfulness of God. It says the king sent and released him, the ruler of peoples, and set him free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Oh, the psalmist here is declaring, oh, what happened to David. He's telling us all the process of what he went through. And God is able to sustain us. This ought to encourage us. This ought to motivate us to be faithful to God, knowing that even when you're going through difficulties, you can say, God is faithful. God will see me through. I know the Lord will make a way. It will humble us. It will keep us in a place where our hearts need to be so that God can continue to manifest himself among us. And not just for ourselves, but for others to see. It was the witness of Joseph's life that continuously opened doors for him. It was his giftings that made room for him. Let your giftings be used. Be a blessing to everyone who you have the opportunity to be a blessing to. Your gifts and your abilities are not just for the four walls of the church, but they're for the world to see, that they may know that God is with you. Let your life be a living testimony. Let people see your faith in God, your love for the Lord, and your desire to be faithful and to be a good servant of God. Acts 7:9 says the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him. Saints of God, God is with you. God is with you. Be faithful to God. If Christ is in you, he is the very hope of glory. And if Christ is in you, yield yourself to his ways. Follow the plan of God. Follow the process that he's allowing you to go through. Let God shine through your life. Humble yourself. And even if you think you know, pretend you don't know. You just might learn something new. You just might find out that you have increased in wisdom because you kept quiet for just a moment longer. And as a result, the wisdom of God is manifested in your life. And you will be like Joseph. It says that God rescued him from all of his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his household. God wants to prosper you. God wants to make a way for you. God wants you to overcome struggles and challenges and difficulties. Gather your spouse together. Gather your children together. Pray and seek the Lord. Seek the face of God. Say, God, give us direction. Our desire is to follow you, to learn your ways, to yield ourselves to your word, and allow your will to be accomplished in our life. Our desire is to be faithful, even as Joseph was faithful. God, what is your plan? What is your plan, Lord? Show us. Teach us. Help us, mold us, and make us the people that you've